Now, if you would, if you have to have a title, I've entitled this Resurrection Life. But I'd ask you to turn with me to John chapter 3. The Spirit of God directed us to do this a while back, and it has changed us. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as we read it and hear it and set our eyes upon it, it changes us. So if you would, we invite you to read along as we read verses 16, 17, and 18 in John 3. And then we're also going to read John 13, verses 34 and 35. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In verses 34 and 35 in John 13, says, A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. I like the New Living Translation. It says, Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And I like that because it's not our preaching, it's not our hooting and hollering, it's not even our witnessing that's going to prove to the world that we're his disciples. You can get out on street corners, and that's good, but that's not going to prove to the world that you are his disciple. What's going to prove to the world is the love of God. And that love comes from the resurrection life of God. That's what changes you, is the life of God. So today, as I jump in, and I like to read this once in a while, but I'm going to read this today. You don't need to turn there, but Psalm 119:130 says, The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And another translation says, The revelation of your words bring light. It's not just the reading of it that brings light, and that's good, but it's the revelation by the Holy Ghost that brings light. That's what brings light and brings understanding to the inexperienced, as it says. And his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hallelujah. Now, I'm just going to walk through some scriptures this morning for a few minutes to substantiate some things about Jesus. And the Word of God will solidify who he was and what he did. Now you can write these down or turn. I'm going to move a little quickly. But Jesus was referred to in the book of Revelations, chapter 13 and verse 8. He was referred to as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's Revelations 13 and 8. He was the sin offering. And you can read for yourself, and I'm going to move quickly so that we can get to where I'm substantiating some things here with the Word of God. So I'm not going to spend time going, you can write these down or get the CD or DVD. Romans 8:3 talks about God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world and for sin. 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Let me read this in a more modern translation. Our message is that God is making all human beings His friends. See, there's no one can honestly say that you're an enemy of God. See, now you may feel like an enemy of God because of maybe the way you conduct yourself, but you are not. And that is the message. That our message is that God is making all human beings His friends through Christ. God did not keep an account of their sins, and He has given us the message which tells us how to make them His friends. Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was imputed to Him. He took our sins. So our sins were not imputed to us. They were not held against us. He took them. Isaiah 53:10, it says, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make a soul an offering for sin. And I'm going to jump down to verse 11. It says, He shall see the travail of His soul, and He shall be satisfied by the knowledge. By His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He bore our sins. And God did not impute them. He didn't put our sins to our account. The finished work, we are His friends. Now let me read this in the Amplified. It says, My servant, this is Isaiah 53, My servant justify many and make many righteous, upright and in right standing for God. For He shall bear their iniquities and their guilt with the consequences. So the consequences of my sins should have been hell. But it wasn't accounted to me. It was accounted to Jesus. He took the consequences of my sins. And He took my sicknesses. Isaiah 53:6 says, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. 2 Corinthians 5:21, For He hath, He's talking about God now, He hath made Him to be sin, who knew no sin. So Jesus did not have sin reckoned to Him. It wasn't imputed to Him. You understand what I mean by that? Let me explain. Jesus knew no sin. So there was no sin imputed to His account for His own. He was sinless. But He took our sins and our sicknesses. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, so that we could be made the righteousness of God, friends of God. Our slate has been paid for. Everything that mankind has ever done, did do, and will do has been paid for. Jesus just didn't have something. He became sin. Luke 22:37 says, and he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. He was reckoned. He was accounted or placed with the transgressors. Isaiah 53:9 says, and he made his grave with the wicked. So that's the consequence of what should have been afforded me. But he took it. Psalm 88:6, thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths. The Holman Christian Standard says, you have put me in the lowest part of the pit, in the darkest places, in the depths. That was my place he took. He was the Lamb for mankind. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now, the wonderful thing about the scriptures is that it's so clear what he did, what he overcame, and what he gave us. It's all here in the scriptures. You can't miss it. This is the battle that took place in the nether realms. It's right here in scripture, what he did. Colossians 2:15 says, and having spoiled, which is another word for disarming, he disarmed principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let me read this in a modern translation. It says, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Young's literal translation says, he stripped the principalities and powers and authorities, made a show of them openly. He triumphed over them in hell. Luke 11:22 says, but when a stronger man attacks, he defeats him. He carries away, and I'm reading from the Good News Translation, he carries away all the weapons the owner was depending on and divides up what he stole. He divides up all the spoil with who? His body. And this was Jesus, who was the strong man and came in and did what? He overthrew the principalities and powers. Acts 13:29, this was, you can go back and read it, this was after the day of Pentecost. Peter got up and began to share and to preach. And towards the end of that, well, let me go over and read some of that because I just took the scripture verse out, Acts 13. We can go over there real quick. Acts 13, if you have a Bible with you. And he's preaching. Peter's got to preach on here. He started preaching way back in the chapter. But verse 28, it says, and they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, They took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. Who raised him? God did. God raised him from the dead. Now I want you to turn over to Romans. We're going to look at this, Romans chapter 4. So we can see here he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He took our sins. And the sins of mankind were not held against them. It was charged to Jesus. And he went to hell. He went to the lowest pit. But he disarmed the principalities and powers and made an open show of them, triumphing over them in the cross. Anybody who says that Jesus was wimpy has got another thing. You don't know the Jesus I know. Romans chapter 4. And this is talking about Abraham. And I want to just pick up in verse 19 and read down to 25 if you're following along. It says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Now, this is where I want to pick up here in verse 22. It says, "And therefore," because of these things that we just read, "and therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness." We're talking about Abram. It was imputed. That means it was accounted to him. It was accounted to his account. You understand what that word means? It was imputed to him for righteousness. "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also." Not just for him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, what? If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Hallelujah. So if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, it will be accounted to you for righteousness. Now we'll clarify some things here. Verse 25, and I'm reading from the King James, but I'm also going to read this from a modern translation. It'll make it clear. "Who was delivered for our offenses," wasn't his, "and was raised again for our justification." Now, let me read this from the New King James Version. Now, let me ask this question. Was Jesus commit any sin? So he was sinless, but he became sin because of our offenses. So who had to, how do I want to say this? Who's the judge over this? God is. He's the judge. And so just like, let's say for instance, I've committed a crime. And I stand before the judge. And he metes out a sentence. And he says, okay, 5 years in the penitentiary. When am I going to be released? After 5 years, when justice has been satisfied. So when Jesus went to hell, he went to hell for who? Me. When justice was satisfied, the judge said, "It's finished. Come up." But listen. Listen to this. See, when you read sometimes the scriptures, you need to look at some other translations, because it can be a little, what's the word? Not foreign, but you know, you can read it and go, you read right past it. When you read verse 25 in an old English translation, the King James, it says, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification?" That sounds wonderful. He was raised for our justification, to make us right. Sounds good, right? Read it in the New King James Version. It says, "Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification." Oh. He was raised when the price was paid. When he said, "It's paid. Let him go." See, he just didn't come up. The price had to be paid. And because of our justification, he was released. He was released from the pits of hell because of our... Let me read this out of the Young's literal translation. This says, "Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our being declared righteous." God said, "That's it, my people, all humanity, I declare righteous. I do not hold any sin against humanity. Mankind, the price for man's transgressions has been paid for." And that's what this says. He was raised because of our being declared righteous. Revelations 1:8 says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And hold and have the keys of hell and death." Matthew 28:18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And then what did he do? He spoke to his disciples and said what? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." He gave us the authority to use the name of Jesus. Now here's the thing I want to point out here before we get into the lesson. I just wanted to see if you were paying attention. I don't know. I just wanted to see if you were there or not. It was quiet. Okay. Here's the point. When Christ was raised from the dead, everyone, every man, had righteousness imputed or set to their account, which would give them legal right to eternal life. But this righteousness did not become theirs until they personally accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and confessed Him as their Lord. So every man has been set to their account. They've been called and decreed righteous. They are a friend of God. And the reason it had to be that way, because you can't have, there is no access to God except through Jesus. And He was the way, says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And so through Him, you can get access to God. He holds nothing against mankind. I don't care the worst deed that has ever been committed. I don't care what it is, the most heinous crimes. He has declared them free and righteous. All they need do is say, Lord, come into my heart. Those who teach universal salvation have only grasped the legal side of righteousness. People go around and say, everybody's saved. Well, in a sense, legally, that's true. Legally, every man has the right to be saved. But it doesn't become a reality until they ask Jesus into their heart. Here's a point. You can go back and look in this. Those that study the Bible, you'll know this is so. Every child in Israel had a legal right to all the benefits of the covenant, but it did not become theirs personally until they were individually circumcised. They had to be circumcised. Is that not true? Romans chapter 4, let me read this. While I was there, I read this before. Now it was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him. Let me read this in the Good News Translation. You can just listen. The words, he was accepted as righteous, were not written for him alone. They were written also for us, who are to be accepted as righteous, who believe in Him who raised Jesus our Lord from death. Because of our sins, He was given over to die, and He was raised to life in order to put us right with God. Boy, I got it. Okay, you are going to sit tight here today, because I've got a few more notes to go through here. Just a few. We'll be all right. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is what happens when you accept Jesus as your Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This light and life that shines forth from His children is the resurrection life of God. This resurrection life is what makes us different. This resurrection life is the answer to the problems in the world today, and it is in us. No weapon ever designed against us can prosper against the resurrection life of God in us. This resurrection life has raised me from the dead. this resurrection life has raised me above the circumstances in life. I didn't say you wouldn't have circumstances, but you were raised above it. John 1:4, in Him, in Christ, was life. And that word life is Zoe. That means the God kind of life. His nature. In Him was life. And the life, the Zoe, what does it say in Scripture? Was the light of men. This resurrection life is the light in you. I like the Good News translation. It says, God has given us eternal life, and this life has its source in His Son. This resurrection life has given us a new kind of love, a God kind of love. And it's this supernatural resurrection life that allows us to love, and that's why we read that scripture, that this love will demonstrate to the world, it'll prove to the world we're His disciples. It's this God life, this God love in us, that will prove to the world He's alive. There is no solution for the human problem outside of the resurrection of Christ. Not one solution apart from it. This new kind of life, this resurrection life, imparts His nature to man. But also He comes into man and makes their body His temple. The resurrection life of God gives to man the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority. The resurrection of Jesus meant Satan was defeated and his slaves would become his masters. Every new creation would be a conqueror. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? When our Master arose from the dead, He gave to the world a new kind of love. And that new kind of love, a new kind of life, out of which has grown a new kind of ethics, a new standard of living that would destroy war, hatred, jealousy, bitterness, and selfishness in every form. All you have to do is go over and read 1 Corinthians 13. That God kind of love will destroy selfishness and bitterness and envy. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now let's turn over to Colossians for a moment. Colossians chapter 1. Just after Philippians and before Thessalonians, chapter 1, Colossians. Chapter 1. Starting in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. That word meet means, in the Greek, to equip one with adequate power to perform duties of one. That means we've been equipped, we've been qualified, and made fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He's been stripped. He was disarmed. That's what we read in Colossians 2:15, that the principalities and powers were disarmed. They were spoiled. And we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The Amplified says, who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. Satan has no legal right over us. And we have a legal right to our liberty in Christ. We have been qualified by God in Him to be a partaker of the inheritance. What did He say? He spoiled. He took the spoils and distributed them. So that's the inheritance that we have access to. So we have been delivered. Satan has no dominion over us without our personal consent. You give him access, he'll take it. Jesus said in John 8:12, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So we don't need to be bumping around in the dark. This says here, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of Zoe. So this resurrection life that we have lighteth every man. It lighteth us. It's in us. John, 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So if you're in him, there is no darkness. It says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And that word, he that followeth, that means, as we read earlier in the scripture, if you abide in him and his words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. But you've got to be a follower, a disciple. You've got to be a doer, a disciple of Christ. we have been translated out of, we've been delivered out of darkness and translated into the life realm. We've been translated into the resurrection life realm, where there is no darkness to those who follow him. As a member of the family of God, you have authority over the circumstances that confront you. You've been given authority to use the name of Jesus. Satan has been disarmed. He has no authority over the child of God. In him was life, and this life is the light that lighteth you. Matthew 5:14. Ye are the light of the world. What is that light? It is that resurrection life that abideth in you. And you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are to let our light shine so that men can see the good works and glorify God. Hallelujah. I'm going to just read this scripture as we close. This is in Philippians chapter 4. This light, this life of God that's in us, this resurrection life that's in us, allows us to confront and overcome every circumstance in life. Philippians chapter 4, and starting in verse 11, it says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." It's through Christ, the anointed one. What does it say? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It's in Christ that I can do all things. It's in Christ that I have this life. And it's this life that strengtheneth me. And I can do all things and overcome all circumstances, no matter what I find myself in. Let me read this. This is the 20th century New Testament, it says in Philippians 4:11 through 13. "Do not think that I am saying this under the pressure of want. For I, however I am placed, have learned to be independent of circumstances." I like that. I am independent of the circumstances that confront me. Why? Because I can do all things in his power. I know how to face humble circumstances, and I know how to face prosperity. Into all and every human experience, I have been initiated. Into plenty and hunger, into prosperity and hunger. and want. I can do everything in the strength of Him who makes me strong. I am, because of this resurrection life, I am not subject to, I am not under the circumstances, I'm independent of it, and I am an overcomer. Hallelujah. So we can see today the magnitude of what Jesus accomplished. He took my sins and my offenses and took the consequences of it, went to hell, and when justice was satisfied, He was released. And when I accepted the Lord Jesus, I was translated out of darkness, or delivered out of darkness, and translated into the kingdom of light, into this realm of resurrection life. And because of that, Jesus now says, you are my disciples. You are the light of this world. Go preach the gospel. Tell the people that I'm not mad at them. Tell them that they're free. Tell them that Jesus has paid the price and you are not under the servitude of Satan. You're not beneath the circumstances in this earth. We, the church, anointed by God, full of the resurrection life, is the answer. That is the answer for the world's problems. Hallelujah. There's scripture throughout the Bible that talks about, I'll flip over here for a moment while you're staring at me here and looking. Like, where is he going? I'll show you. I'll read it. It talks about the scripture not benefiting them because it wasn't being mixed with faith. So God sent His Son. He died for us. He delivered us. He calls us His friend. And there are many, even in the church world today, that don't really believe. They kind of think they're underneath the circumstances. They're subject to the circumstances in life, for whatever it is. But you are a new creature in Christ, full of the life of God, God's life. You are a king and a priest. You are a God in the earth. You are part of the body of Christ. How could we be subject to and beneath? I don't care what it is. We have the power of God in us to change the circumstances in this earth. And I know you know that coming out on Friday nights and praying. When you think about it, when you look at the book of Acts, that small group, the revelation of who they were in Christ, they began to turn upside down the world because they realized who they were and who was in them. And they began to boldly go forth and to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And that is what God is sharing to me to share today is that this is a reminder. Think on who you are. Think on all that's been paid for, what's been accomplished, and who you are in Christ. And let no one put you in bondage. No man put you in bondage or slavery. Let no man tell you you can't have something. It's been paid for. Your prosperity, your health, your peace of mind, your deliverance has been paid with an awesome price. Now, you don't have to get ornery with people. You don't have to fight with people. But you can just smile and say, I'm free. I'm not subject to these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So God is just putting us in remembrance today. Don't forget who you are. You are somebody. You are the body of Christ. You are a light set on a hill. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for these words that you've energized me with to share. Father, I believe that the words spoken were anointed by you, and I believe that they will unfold and reveal and remind and deposit in us seeds that will not return void, but shall accomplish that which you please. And I thank you that you are raising up a mighty church who will go forth and dare to believe you. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.